You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper, and in conjunction with that, about to have a discussion with a friend of mine who I have known for a number of years, about a decade or so, former State Senator Dick Brubaker. We served together in the Alabama legislature, and he's got a time in his life when he served in the House. He served as an advisor to one of our governors on education policy. He served in the Alabama State Senate, a very successful businessman who apparently was not content with retirement because he has now announced his candidacy for the Congressional District 2 for the state of Alabama. So without further ado, let me bring him on. Dick Brubaker, how are you doing?
Hey, good afternoon. I am glad to be on your show. I appreciate the opportunity, and God willing, we're going to hold the Alabama second congressional district for the good guys, for the Republicans.
Outstanding, man. Well, I tell you what, I mean, you just got in a place in your life where you could be going fishing every day if you wanted to, and now this. So my understanding is you just left party headquarters. You filed your qualification paperwork. Is that right?
I did. I have paid my fee. Signed my name and have officially qualified.
Wow. Okay.
But you know, having grandkids will change your perspective on things. I mean, I thought that I would never get back into politics, but you know, the country is headed in the wrong direction at increasing velocity. And Bill, you've done it. I mean, you made plenty of sacrifices in public service, and you know, I just feel like I have a responsibility to at least get in there and try to see if we can put things back on the right track.
Well, I don't disagree with that, man. It is a sacrifice, too, by the way. And it's not a decision I'm sure you made lightly. I'm sure there was a lot of family discussion mixed in there, too. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. A lot of prayer, a lot of family discussion. But, you know, I mean, what kind of country, you know, are my grandkids going to grow up in? I mean, my sons are raising families in a country that where their government seems to have forgot about them.
Yeah.
And, you know, just regular people trying to raise their kids in the right way, feed them, educate them, and at every turn, you know, their own government is trying to make it harder.
Well, and some of the candidates that are in this race right now, I mean, I did learn, and you educated me even more during the break before we came on the air, that there are indeed some Democrats in this race who I think if they got elected would definitely make things harder. Who are you running against right now? Who do you know?
Well, on the Republican side, there are two other candidates. Well, there's Caroline Dobson has qualified as a Republican. I've qualified as a Republican, and Senator Greg Allbritton, who you know, we both know well, very good man, has said that he is going to qualify. He hasn't done it yet, but he has said that he's in the race. So taking him at his word, that's three Republicans, and there's a whole flock of Democrats.
Now,
and what's interesting about those Democrats is almost none of them live in the district.
Well, now, Greg Allbritton, as a Republican, he doesn't live in the district either, right? But I think his state Senate district does overlap it. Is that right?
Right. His state Senate district does overlap it. And I do believe his residency is outside the second congressional district right now.
All right. So do we have any scary Democrats in the race?
No, all Democrats are scary when you look at what they promote. I mean, it scares me that they want open borders, that they want to draw a moral equivalency between Israel and Hamas.
Yeah.
I find that kind of scary. The fact that we've got inflation rates overall of 10%, but if you look at like basic foodstuffs,
Yeah.
I mean, the food inflation rate is more like 25%.
Yep.
And but they want to keep spending. They want to keep pouring the coal to it. That scares the daylights out of me and ought to scare anybody who's watching their buying power get a little bit smaller every day because of the actions of their government.
Yeah, true that. Real quick, Dick, before we get into your policy stances too, who are the Democrats that are running? Because I think our audience is curious.
Curt Hatcher, who does live in the 2nd Congressional District, Senator Curt Hatcher, he represents Montgomery County in the state legislature. He's a state senator. He's won. He is qualified. Napoleon Bracey, who's a state representative from, I think, either Mobile or Baldwin County. It's one or the other. He does not – I'm not sure whether he's actually in the district or not, but he's from Mobile. He works for Austral, and he's a state representative. He's in the race. A state representative from Opelika, another one outside the district, has qualified. I think State Representative Gray, I think is his name. And – most interestingly to me is the Democrat, the House Minority Leader, Anthony Daniels, has said repeatedly that he is going to get in this race in spite of the fact that he lives in Huntsville.
Yeah.
Now all that's legal. There's no residency requirement for Congress.
You just have to live in the state, right?
Well, he lives in the state. He just doesn't live in the 2nd Congressional District.
Wow, that's a fuller field than I thought it was. I know Anthony Daniels. I don't know the other ones well. I know who Napoleon Bracey is. Certainly, he was in the House when I was there. But Napoleon Bracey is also the guy who, he's the DEI guy for a foreign corporation, right?
Yes, that's where if I'm reading his bio correctly, that's correct. And you know, the thing is, if someone has just recently moved away, I mean, that's one thing. But if someone has moved to another community and all of his connections there, he's raised his family there, whether you're Republican or Democrat, I hope any voter would seriously consider voting for someone that actually has ties in the district they're supposed to represent. But, you know, we'll see what the voters want. It's going to be an interesting race, and I think qualifying ends on the 10th. And I think by then there'll be at least two or three more that qualify. So, I think it's going to be wide open.
So let me ask you this, Dick. We got a few minutes left here. What policy positions, what points of passion are there for you on public policy that you want to go to D.C. in effect? What's making you run for Congress? If you had to pick the short list of here's where Dick Brubaker wants to go make a difference, what's it going to be on?
The first one would be just bread and butter issues. I mean, I've got five boys. They're raising families. And listen to this. The establishment media is telling people that inflation's under control. It's only 9%. Listen to this on basic grocery staples. Butter is up 32%. Sugar, 30%. Potatoes, 13%. Hamburger, 15%. Milk, 15%. Bacon, 17%. Eggs, between April of last year and January the 1st of this year, were up 120%.
Oh, my
God. I mean,
gosh.
Inflation for the stuff that people actually buy to take care of their families is out of control. And what's different about it this time is, you know, in the past when America's had inflationary cycles, it's been because of things that you can't blame on the president, you know, OPEC or a war. This time, it's because of the actions of our government, this insane push by the Biden administration to limit American energy production, to make us less self-sufficient, less secure, less safe, and it's a rising energy costs that are driving all of this inflation in the food sector.
Yeah.
And that's hurting families. And, you know, if they really believed that all of this was necessary to save the planet, why are we standing by while China, our major competitor, burned more coal in 2022 than they've ever burned in any year in their history?
No, fair points.
I mean, so if all this is as serious as they say, you know, why is it only the United States that is hurting its own citizens, its own competitiveness, its own security, chasing, you know, this zero carbon dream? But at the same time, it's not the elites who are bearing the brunt. I mean, they're still flying their private jets to Geneva for climate conferences, while regular Alabama families are paying twice as much for eggs to feed their kids as they were a year ago.
Yep. Well,
and, you know, it's got, at some point, you've got to care about your own people. And it's just not right.
Well, these are things that I would have expected to hear from you. I mean, absolutely. Having worked with you before, I expected to hear some of this. And I can't help but wonder, too, if there's going to be some way for you to have influence on education policy if you were to get to D.C.
Well, I hope so. And I think if I had a political motto, it would be liberty and limited government. And I think for a very brief moment in American education policy, the Reagan administration experimented with block grants to the states. Instead of the feds just outlining how every penny's got to be spent,
yep,
we're going to block this money to the states and let local people decide how to spend it, how to get the most bang for the buck.
Yeah.
I think the best thing we can do is take some of these regulatory shackles off and let local people that know their communities decide how to spend this money in a way that will actually move the ball forward for America's children. Because, you know, let's face it, right now, when you think of federal education policy, you think of LGBT curricula in public schoolrooms. I mean, that's completely wrong. I mean, the federal role in education should be to provide very broad guidance and to return tax dollars that the people send to Washington back to the states to be used to educate children in things that will make them successful. And in Alabama, believe me, we are not doing as good a job as we need to in public education, and layers of federal regulation are not helping.
Well, listen, Dick, we're about out of time right now, but brother, you got a short window of time. It's actually a very short window for a primary. If folks want to, by the way, we have listeners down your way, so it's not like you're just talking to a North Alabama show. We got people that text in and call in all the time from what's going to wind up being your potential district. Where can they find out more about you? You got any Facebook or websites up yet?
Oh, yes. It's all up, and I would tell you what it is, but I'm in my truck driving down the road, and I don't think I'm going to get it out right now. But I'll email it to you. You can
You
maybe
do that.
Put it on your website.
All right, you do that. You text it to us or text it to me on the show, and I'll announce it. But in the meantime, Dick Brubaker, congratulations on qualifying for your run for Congress, and we look forward to hearing more about you, all right?
All right, thanks, Phil. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, thanks, Dick. All right, listen, it's just it's amazing. We're going to take a break right now. We come right back. I'll finish up this dipper on Bama making news. But yeah, this is – so isn't that something? I mean, there's a guy who's been calling into the show off and on now for the last year or more, and he's now running for Congress with the brand new district lines. Well, I'm glad of it. He's a good one, and we'll see what happens with the rest of this race. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.